This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And there's something unholy about it. And God says, get out of there so you can be holy again. To disconnect. Now, I farm. And I preach. But I deal with farming. I told you my example. I said, Lord, what does it mean to disconnect? What does that mean to disconnect? Well, it means this. As I had my deck mower, rear deck mower, on my little tractor, a little Fordson tractor, and I was out mowing the lawn, and I got all done, and I drove up, and I pulled the PTO, and I pulled the three-point off, and I dropped the deck mower, and I drove on. And the Lord says, that's disconnect. Disconnect the PTO, disconnect the three-point, let the old thing lay there, and crank the tractor up, and go on. Now, let me come around the bush this way. This does not mean if you're mad at the pastor, you leave. Did I say that?
No.
This does not mean if the elder, if you're mad at one of the elders, you leave. I didn't say that. I did say this. If there is an unholy alliance in there, if they are teaching, there are churches today that teach shamanism in with their doctrines. There are churches today that teach spiritual awakening in with doctrines. They are teaching things that are an abomination.
Yeah.
Let me prove it to you. How many of you heard that? Yeah. You bet.
Amen.
They're teaching alliances with the witch of Endor, and it's defiling you. It's defiling you. And the Lord says, come ye out from among them and be holy. And be holy. Now, sometimes the coming out is easy. I'll never forget the church that we went to. And my wife and her parents went to, and a statement was made that Christians can't have a demon. And it was during a Bible study time, and me, I know, of little discernment, I said, oh, yes, they can. And they said, how do you know? I says, well, I seen it once. And so they say, well, that person wasn't really a Christian. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to get into semantics, but I know that when someone is in bondage, and they cannot break out of that bondage, and that bondage has an allegiance over them, and you say in the name of Jesus, you come out of them, and they start doing wild stuff, something's going on. Hello? And so you decide for yourself. I love it when Paul said that to the Sanhedrin. He says, you decide for yourself. Don't allow me to convince you. You decide for yourself. Amen? And what was really wild was, and I played the organ in church, and my wife's mother, she played the piano in church. And when we came to church on the next Sunday morning, that our names were off the boxes, and there was a new person on the piano, a new person on the organ. And I said, oh. And that was a hint. It was a pretty strong hint, you know, even for a good German and Norsky to get through, you know. So you know what? I said, Lord, we have been lovingly disconnected. What should we do? And some of you have that question tonight, don't you? Well, what should I do? The Lord told me, he said, you're scriptural, you're fine. He says, go have church at home. And you know what he showed me? I said, well, who did this in the Bible? You know what he said? Noah and his wife and three sons did.
Yeah.
Noah and his wife and three sons did. Hello?
Yeah.
They had church in the ark for a long time all by themselves.
Right.
Because the Lord said, build an ark and come out from among them. And my Bible says to me that there were eight that were saved.
Yeah.
Did you know that? There were eight that were saved. And I'm going to tell you what, maybe there's eight in your family, come ye out from among them and be holy. Because that covenant blood relationship that Saul took with the witch of Endor that got passed down, took Israel into bondage, the same way it'll take you into bondage. We started having church in our house. Isn't that neat? And we had a pretty good sized living room, I want you to know. Well, we had to get more chairs, and pretty soon they were out in the big hallway, and they were clear down over here. And one night we were teaching on water baptism, and one lady, Irma, I'll never forget, one lady looked at me and she said, well, why can't I get baptized? Well, it was 20 below zero. I said, well, I don't know. Well, of all people, Elton was there that night. You know what he said? Well, Brother Ludicky, haven't you got a bathtub? Hallelujah. We baptized people in the bathtub. Isn't that great? That's what we did. Hey, it was, yeah, and it was great because we put warm water in. It was wonderful. We baptized people in the bathtub. Oh, and there were some glorious meetings there, too, I want you to know. Glorious meetings. But there's another way that we have to disconnect sometimes. And now we're going to get down to the very root. And I want to just be your friend with this. I want to just reach out with love to you and say this. You know, sometimes when we disconnect, there's a lot of hurt that's involved. There's accusations that are involved. There's misunderstandings that are involved, isn't there? There's hurt feelings that are involved. Disconnecting means there's a separating. It means that there is a severing that goes on. One of the first is physical. Think about this, physical. My five-year-old is named Daisy. My Daisy Marie. And I love her dearly. And her pet name, you know how we have pet names for kids, you know, or pet names, Boopsy. You know? And switch it over to German. Oh, she's going to just have a fit. I call her Dinkelheimer. She's my little Dinkelheimer. Isn't that cute? Well, my little Dinkelheimer has a little kitty, you know. And she still hasn't gave it a name. She just calls it Kitty. That's right. I forgot telling that. Yeah, this is my baby.
She calls it Kitty Rose, but she says it's a girl, but it's really a boy.
Oh. Well, remember I told you that one day she was out with Kitty in the barn and she was screaming and blubbering and carrying on and tears were coming out from everywhere. There's tears to carry out from the girl, you know. And she said, Kitty, scratched me, Daddy. Oh, I love my little kitty, you know. And I said, oh, man, it must be a real gash, you know. And it was just a little teeny weeny scratch, just a little. You could hardly see it, a little scratch. And the Lord told me this. He said, Dorrance, she's not crying because of the scratch. She's crying because something she loved scratched her. And how many times in disconnect do we get a little scratch? And it's not the scratch. It's because something that we loved, we attended, we cherished, we hugged, we gave things up for, we traveled miles and miles and miles and miles, scratched us. You understand the difference? That's it. Well, in true reaction of nature, the next day she was getting dressed to go out to the barn, and she's all girl, this girl, I want you to know. She's secure being a girl, and she loves her tutu. She wears a tutu day and night, this girl, with all the ruffles around here and the little skinny, you know, and the little things all over. She puts on her pointy-toe cowboy boots and her tutu and goes out to the barn. She is quite a sight. Well, she got out there, and my wife said to me, you better go intervene in this one, I think. So I went out to the barn, and there she had Kitty petting her beloved kitty, you know. She takes Kitty up in the haymow, and you have a big swing, rope swing up in the haymow, and she gets her foot in it. She gets Kitty all squished up here, you know, and she jumps off the bale and swings. Yeah! And this little kitty goes, meow, meow, like this, and she's hugging it, loving it up, swinging with Kitty, you know. So I said, oh, man, what's going on? Well, Kitty got scared because she was going to give Kitty a bath. Okay, so there's a horse tank in the barn. So she figured she just dunks him in and he gets a little bath, you know, for Kitty. Well, she dunked Kitty and he came up scratching, wild-eyed, crazy-looking, you know, and she got mad. And I remember she set Kitty down. She says, I fix you, Kitty. So she reared back to haul off and kick him with her pointy-toe cowboy boots. And there's something unholy about it. And God says, get out of there so you can be holy again. To disconnect. Now, I farm. And I preach. But I deal with farming. I told you my example. I said, Lord, what does it mean to disconnect? What does that mean to disconnect? Well, it means this. As I had my deck mower, rear deck mower, on my little tractor, I have a little Fordson tractor. And I was out mowing the lawn, and I got all done. And I drove up, and I pulled the PTO, and I pulled the three-point off, and I dropped the deck mower, and I drove on. And the Lord says, that's disconnect. Disconnect the PTO, disconnect the three-point, let the old thing lay there and crank the tractor up and go on. Now, let me come around the bush this way. This does not mean if you're mad at the pastor, you leave. Did I say that?
No.
This does not mean if the elder, if you're mad at one of the elders, you leave. I didn't say that. I did say this, if there is an unholy alliance in there, if they are teaching, there are churches today that teach shamanism in with their doctrines. There are churches today that teach spiritual awakening in with doctrines. They are teaching things that are an abomination.
Yeah.
Let me prove it to you. How many of you heard that? Yeah. You bet. They're teaching alliances with the witch of Endor, and it's defiling you. It's defiling you. And the Lord says, come ye out from among them and be holy. And be holy. Now, sometimes the coming out is easy. I'll never forget the church that we went to, and my wife and her parents went to, and a statement was made that Christians can't have a demon. And it was during a Bible study time, and me, I know, of little discernment, I said, oh, yes, they can. And they said, how do you know? I said, well, I seen it once. And so they say, well, that person wasn't really a Christian. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't want to get into semantics, but I know that when someone is in bondage and they cannot break out of that bondage, and that bondage has an allegiance over them, and you say in the name of Jesus, you come out of them, and they start doing wild stuff, something's going on. Hello? And so you decide for yourself. I love it when Paul said that to the Sanhedrin. He says, you decide for yourself. Don't allow me to convince you. You decide for yourself. Amen? And what was really wild was, and I played the organ in church, and my wife's mother, she played the piano in church. And when we came to the church on the next Sunday morning, that our names were off the boxes, and there was a new person on the piano, a new person on the organ. And I said, oh. And that was a hint. It was a pretty strong hint, you know, even for a good German and Norsky to get through, you know. So you know what? I said, Lord, we have been lovingly disconnected. What should we do? And some of you have that question tonight, don't you? Well, what should I do? The Lord told me, he said, you're scriptural, you're fine. He says, go have church at home. And you know what he showed me? I said, well, who did this in the Bible? You know what he said? Noah and his wife and three sons did. Yeah. Noah and his wife and three sons did. Hello? Yeah. They had church in the ark for a long time, all by themselves. Right. Because the Lord said, build an ark and come out from among them. And my Bible says to me that there were eight that were saved. Did you know that? There were eight that were saved. And I'm going to tell you what. Maybe there's eight in your family. Come ye out from among them and be holy. Because that covenant blood relationship that Saul took with the witch of Endor that got passed down took Israel into bondage the same way it'll take you into bondage. We started having church in our house. Isn't that neat? And we had a pretty good sized living room, I want you to know. Well, we had to get more chairs and more chairs, and pretty soon they were out in the big hallway, and they were clear down over here. And one night we were teaching on water baptism, and one lady, Irma, I'll never forget, one lady looked at me and she said, well, why can't I get baptized? Well, it was 20 below zero. I said, well, I don't know. Well, of all people, Elton was there that night. You know what he said? Well, Brother Ludicky, haven't you got a bathtub? Hallelujah, we baptize people in the bathtub. Isn't that great? That's what we did. Hey, it was, yeah, and it was great because we put warm water in. It was wonderful. We baptized people in the bathtub. Oh, and there were some glorious meetings there too, I want you to know. Glorious meetings. But there's another way that we have to disconnect sometimes. And now we're going to get down to the very root. And I want to just be your friend with this. I want to just reach out with love to you and say this. You know, sometimes when we disconnect, there's a lot of hurt that's involved. There's accusations that are involved. There's misunderstandings that are involved, isn't there? There's hurt feelings that are involved. Disconnecting means there's a separating. It means that there is a severing that goes on. One of the first is physical. Think about this, physical. My five-year-old is named Daisy. My Daisy Marie. And I love her dearly. And her pet name, you know how we have pet names for kids, you know, or pet names, Boopsy. You know? And switch it over to German. Oh, she's going to just have a fit. I call her Dinkelheimer. She's my little Dinkelheimer. Isn't that cute? Well, my little Dinkelheimer has a little kitty, you know. And she still hasn't gave it a name. She just calls it kitty.
She has a name. She calls
it Rose. That's right. I forgot telling that. Yeah.
She calls it a kitty Rose, but she says it's a girl, but it's really a boy.
Oh. Well, remember I told you that one day she was out with Kitty in the barn and she was screaming and blubbering and carrying on and tears were coming out from everywhere. There's tears to carry out from the girl, you know. And she said, Kitty, scratched me, Daddy. Oh, I love my little kitty, you know. And I said, oh, man, it must be a real gash, you know. And it was just a little teeny weeny scratch, just a little. You could hardly see it, a little scratch. And the Lord told me this. He said, Dorrance, she's not crying because of the scratch. She's crying because something she loved scratched her. And how many times in disconnect do we get a little scratch? And it's not the scratch, it's because something that we loved, we attended, we cherished, we hugged, we gave things up for, we traveled miles and miles and miles and miles, scratched us. You understand the difference? That's it. Well, in true reaction of nature, the next day she was getting dressed to go out to the barn, and she's all girl, this girl, I want you to know. She's secure being a girl, and she loves her tutu. She wears a tutu day and night, this girl, with all the ruffles around here and the little skinny, you know, and the little things all over. She puts on her pointy-toe cowboy boots and her tutu and goes out to the barn. She is quite a sight. Well, she got out there, and my wife said to me, you better go intervene in this one, I think. So I went out to the barn, and there she had Kitty petting her beloved kitty, you know. She takes Kitty up in the haymow. We have a big swing, rope swing up in the haymow. And she gets her foot in it. She gets Kitty all squished up here, you know. And she jumps off the bale and swings. Meow! And this little kitty goes, meow, meow, like this. And she's hugging it, loving it up, swinging with Kitty, you know. So I said, oh, man, what's going on? Well, Kitty got scared because she was going to give Kitty a bath. Okay, so there's a horse tank in the barn. So she figured she just dunks him in and he gets a little bath, you know, for Kitty. Well, she dunked Kitty and he came up scratching, wild-eyed, crazy-looking, you know, and she got mad. And I remember she sat Kitty down. She said, I fix you, Kitty. So she reared back to haul off and kick him with her pointy-toe cowboy boots. Love me when I say this, but how many times when we disconnect do we want blood? Hello? Did you hear what I said? We get hurt in this situation, and we want to haul off and kick them with our pointy-toe cowboy boots, don't we? Yes, we do. Because first of all, the first disconnect is a disconnect physical of a physical love, isn't it? It's a physical love. And we get hurt with physical love very much. The second kind of disconnect hurt that we suffer is emotional. There are emotional ties that hurt when we break. Now, I'm an old farm boy. I tell you that. And when we farmed, when I was a little kid, and I'm not that old, but we still use the old binder. Remember, how many remember those years? Hello? I know Glenn does. We did that, you know, with the binder, and that was Grandpa and my job, and I'd help ride around on the binder and all that stuff, you know, shock wheat and really get it together. But you know, you know what? I want you to think about it like this. Wait a minute, the Lord's talking to me, I gotta wait. Okay. You know what? The Lord says, I'm making you a jewel for me in the midst of this trial. He says, I'm making you a jewel that I will be proud to put in my crown. And he says, your faith and your diligence and your love is going to shine as an example to many through this. And he says, you just keep on keeping on. And you keep on being faithful. And you keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. When we suffer an emotional break, it hurts. Let me come around the bush this way. Let me tell you a little farmer story. You know, us farmers, we get together. One day there was this old mule. And this old mule had pulled the farmer's plow for many years. And he was kind of a tough-looking old mule. Well, the farmer got to looking at that old mule one day and said, "You know, that sorry old thing's pulled my plow many years. It's pulled my disc many years. And it's really wasting money for me to feed hay to that old thing, you know." Well, the farmer had a big old dry well and off in the corner of the yard. You know, we used to hand-dug well, you know. So the farmer got the old mule out and led him over by the hand-dug well, and behind his back he had a 5-pound stone hammer, you know. Led that old mule right over there, and that old mule stood there just as faithful as ever. And all of a sudden that farmer pulled out and whopped him right in the forehead. That old mule fell down the well, and there he lay. Farmer went off to get his little tractor with a loader on front so he could fill in the well. That mule come too, didn't kill him. Come too to the bottom of that well and kind of got his legs back together and stood up. And he looked. And he looked up. And he says, "I'm in the bottom of this old well." And he says, "That farmer that I pulled his plow for many years. I dug his weeds for many years. I helped him harvest his crops for many years. Has done this to me." And all of a sudden that mule got mad. And he shook himself. But all of a sudden, boom, a load of dirt came down on him. You know that? On his back. And that mule says, "That old farmer?" And he shook himself and he got so mad he started stomping around. Here came another load of dirt. Landed, that mule shook it off and stomped some more. And here came another load and he just stomped some more. And another load and he stomped some more. And pretty soon that old mule walked out of that well. Hallelujah. He done looked at that farmer dead in the eye and walked out of his well. And I'm going to tell you what, do this. When people start throwing dirt on your back, you just shake it off and start stomping in the Holy Ghost and you're going to walk out of their well. Amen. And you do that. You get out of that well. Emotional is tough. You know, when we went through a tough time with dealing with what we dealt with, I fell into a trap. And there's a saying that I saw somewhere and I wrote it down. And it's this: an argument is the exchange of ignorance. But a discussion is the exchange of ideas. And when people would try to get into an argument with me, I refused. I said, "I'm sorry, I won't argue. I have nothing to argue about." But when you're rational and I'm rational, let's sit down and discuss an exchange of ideas. Amen? An argument only causes division. An argument only hurts further. Because sometimes we slip and get them pointy-toed cowboy boots out. And we try to launch that thing. Hello? Don't we? But the third kind of disconnect is very, very, very difficult. And that is the spiritual disconnect. Because yes, there are spiritual ties there. Isn't there? There are spiritual ties there. I wrote a story, and I was going to tell it to you, but I'm going to read it to you instead. I wrote a story. One day I sat down in front of the computer, and the Lord began to talk to me, and he said, write. And I had heard a story along these lines. It was very interesting to me. I heard a story along these lines, and the Lord brought it back to my memory, and so we jumped off of that and went on. This is the story. Listen to this now. Just listen. Please don't get super spiritual on me. We're visiting. Okay? We're visiting. Okay? When we get all official and I'll put my suit coat on and I'll get all straight and get my cards out, you know, and this and that and be Mr. Somebody, then, you know, we'll compare apples and we'll get spiritual. All right? But right now we're being friends. We're sitting out there. It's about 10 above zero and our pop is unthawed and it's a little snowy. All right? And we're visiting. Okay? We're being friends. The possum and the snake. One fine morning, Mr. Possum, Pete, isn't that a nice name for a possum? Pete the possum, was walking in the woods. As a new Christian, Pete was looking forward to a great day in the Lord. And he was singing, "I've got a new life." As he skipped down the trail past the big old oak tree, suddenly Pete stopped and hearing a faint cry for help. How many times have we heard it? He turned his ear in the direction of the cry. He heard it again. "Help me, help me, help me." Oh, Pete said, "Man, that's my call." He ran to the other side of that big old oak tree. and to his shock lay Sly the Snake. Help me, Sly hissed. Someone has placed a rock on my back, and I cannot move. No, yelled Pete. I ain't getting close to you. Help me, demanded Sly, his eyes riveted on Pete. You are the snake in the forest, retorted Pete. All the animals know you, and they run in fear. But I can change, pleaded Sly. I can change. Look at you, Pete, singing, I've got a new life. Doesn't the Bible tell you, Pete, to love everybody? Aren't you supposed to help everybody in need? Why, I was just minding my own business when somebody landed this stupid rock on my back. Come now, Pete. Lift it off. You're a Christian, aren't you? But you will bite me and eat me, said Pete. No, I won't, said Sly. I promise. Pete walked slowly towards Sly the Snake and rolled the rock off his back. Oh, groaned Sly, I can move again. Pete turned to hurry away down the trail. Oh, my back, hollered Sly the Snake. I think it's broken. Pete stopped. Was it pity or was it mercy he felt for Sly? Mercy, the Christian attribute. Pity, the carnal feeling. Against Pete's better judgment, he turned and looked at Sly. Deep from within, Pete's spirit was greatly troubled, highly agitated. But in his mind, pity began to overwhelm him. After all, Sly could change, thought Pete. Pete, come out of it, said Sly. Can't you see that I'm hurt? Why, look at me. I can see this, stammered Pete. How can I help you? Pete, my friend, put me in your pouch where it's soft and warm. No, shouted Pete. I won't do that. You will kill me and eat me. No, I won't, said Sly. I promise. Slowly, Pete picked up Sly. He was very heavy. Carefully, Pete placed Sly into his pouch. I didn't realize that Sly was such a burden. Pete labored on down the trail with Sly in his pouch. I'll just carry him a short distance, that's all. I'll just take him a little ways, and send him on his way. Sly, feeling very warm and very comfortable, soon fell asleep. Time to be on your way, Pete announced to Sly. Sly woke up. Oh, Pete, said Sly. Just a little further, my back really hurts. Well, I've come this far, rationalized Pete. A little further can be endured. After all, long suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Sly then began to peek out of his pouch. As his carrier was getting more tired and more tired and more tired and more tired, recognizing an opportune situation, it was now time to act. Sly the Snake slithered out from Pete's pouch. Pete stopped to help Sly out of his care and his loving protection. Pete said, oh, I've been a good Christian. I've endured to the nth mile and the nth degree. Pete was feeling pretty good about the love he shared. He was almost expecting to hear a thank you. Suddenly, in the gleaming sunlight, two white fangs glistened and dripped with poison. The fangs found their mark true, and Pete screamed as the pain raced through his body. Why, said Pete. Why, said Pete as he sank to his knees. I helped you. I loved you. I cared for you. You promised not to bite. Sly violently ripped his fangs from Pete's dying body, and he smiled as he looked deep into Pete's eyes as they were dimming fast. Actually, said Sly with an arrogant tone. You see, Pete, it's actually all your fault. Because I'm still a snake by nature. But if an enemy were insulting me, said David in Psalms 55, verse 12, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it was you, a man like unto myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship, as we walked along the throng at the very house of God. David said in Psalms 41, even my close friend in whom I trusted, he who even sat in my house and shared my bread. David said, it is he, the very one who raised his heel against me. My family tonight, it's not the outside that can hurt you. It's not going to the grocery store and somebody you don't know that can hurt you. It's the very one that you walked with, that you prayed with, that you talked with, that enjoyed food in your home. It says even walked in the very throng of God with you. It is you who raised up your heel against me. Because David had disconnected with an unholy alliance and connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the true one. And I know that right now, even by the Spirit, that some of you can say, I was just like Pete and I felt the fangs. And oh, did they stab me deep. Did they stab me deep. But listen, let's read the rest of the verse. And this is what it says. But Lord, you have mercy on me. You, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, Dee Dee said it so well the other day. You know what she said? I'm looking for it. God hasn't failed me. And God says, aren't I better to you than that? Aren't I better to you than that? And he is, isn't he? He is better to us than that. For I know, Lord, that you are pleased with me. You hear the disconnect and the reconnect there? For I know, Lord, that you are pleased with me. For my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, Lord, you uphold me and you set me in your presence forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you ever need to disconnect, reconnect, and you'll be connected into the very presence of God.
Hallelujah.
The very presence of God. You got chapter and verse to stand on. You'll be reconnected there. And then finally it says this, as David goes on, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. You see, David grabbed a hold of a truth. And it was this, God is the one that really upholds you. God is the one that will never fail you. God is the one that will never let you down. Though I fall, he will not cast me down. Every one of those stumbling stones the Lord will pick up and make stepping stones to see him better and better, clearer and clearer. We had a young man in church one day and he was saved through and through. And I used to work for the sheriff's office, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, I got a call from the sheriff's office. I didn't work for them then, but they called me up. They said, Dorrance, this is an unofficial call. The tapes are shut off. I said, okay, hit it. And they said, so-and-so is in jail. He got a DWI and ran a stop sign and assault. And we got him up here. And they said, you want to come and get him? And I said, no. I said, but let him out in the morning. I said, let him out, or it was Saturday night. Said, let him out in the morning, and I'll come up and sign, and I'll take responsibility. Sunday morning, church started, song service was about over, and guess who walked in? He did. He came around this side, sat about where you're sitting, clear up front. sat there, hadn't shaved, looked like kind of a wreck, you know. Spent all night in jail, and he was bombed and sitting there. And I went on and got done preaching, and I said, well, we're going to pray and close now. See, I knew what God was doing. Because I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for him. Lord said, you leave him alone. I'm calling him, not you. And I just got ready to start with the closing prayer. He stands up. He stood up. And he says, Pastor, he says, I got to tell you where I've been. And you know what I said? I said, don't say another word. I said, I know where you've been. They called me. And I said, but I want you to know right now I love you. And I said, I don't care if you spent 20 years there. It can't stop God from loving you. And it can't stop me. And he said, do you know why I came to church this morning? And he looked at all the people. And I said, tell us. And he said, because I knew if I came here, you wouldn't criticize me. You wouldn't hurt me. You would just love me. And he says, I need it right now. And I need it bad. That's what church has to be.
That's right. Amen.
It has to be a place where the hurting can come in and not get hurt again. It has to be a place, like David said, that the Lord will uphold us in His presence. It has to be a place, like he said, that it doesn't get counted, because God's grace is more than sufficient to take care of it. And he went on and repented of it and got some things done and taken care of. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. Started speaking in tongues and carrying on. Met a wonderful Christian girl. I married him, and they're doing great. And he talks to me all the time. You know, he was about 80 miles from us. And, you know, and he'll say every time he called me, he says, you know, the Lord upheld me. The Lord upheld me. And you were the one that showed me his upholding. You were the one. I said, no, it was God that showed you it was holding. I was preaching a world convention 2.5 years ago over in St. Louis. And that night I got a phone call, and it was a lady from church, had a bunch of kids, and an unsaved husband. She'd been at work, and she found out that her husband was having an affair. She found out he'd come home. She faced him with a frying pan in hand, you know. She wanted a little blood, that girl. You know, she put the pointy-toe cowboy boots, and she was going to town, you know. You're going to kick that thing, I tell you what. And I said, uh-oh. She was standing out at a payphone in the rain. I can't say her name. I said, what is all that sound? She said, it's raining. She said, I'm standing here in the rain. She says, I walk. She says, I'm so hurt, I don't know what to do. She said, Pastor, I need you, and I need you right now. And I said, dear, let me tell you what to do. I said, I want you to go back to the house. I want you to march upstairs. I want you to walk in there dripping wet. Drag him out of bed and hug him and tell him that God loves him. She said, I'm getting ready to hang up on you. And I said, no. I said, no, you go on and do it. I'm telling you, go do it. Well, a couple hours later, the phone rang again. I said, oh my. And it was her. She said, I did it. I went up there and I drug him out of bed and I hugged him and I told him that I loved him and that I loved him. And that I loved him. If I failed him in any place that he went out to do this affair, she said, I'm sorry, and I love you. And that affected him so much, he fell on the floor in the bedroom and asked her to pray for him for salvation. Because all his life, he's only known hurt and disappointment and hurt and disappointment and hurt and disappointment. And here was someone that loved him beyond that. Hello?
Yeah.
And it was her. And he got saved right there. And she said, it's a miracle. She said, but all the kids are here? And she said, I got a saved husband through this. I said, now, dear, let me tell you what to do. I said, there's a thing called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I said, when I hang up, I said, you all get your hands on him and you pray for him for the Holy Ghost. And don't you let him go until he speaks in tongues.
Yeah.
Hung up, went to bed. A couple hours later, there was that phone again. Thank heavens that switchboard in the lobby stayed open. I said, hello. There was all this jibber jabber. I thought, man, I'm getting a call from Africa here. I thought, what on earth is this, you know? talking away and talking away and talking away. And I thought, I'm going to just take authority over this thing. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, no, that's the Holy Spirit. And I said, I called his name. I said, is this you? Is this you? He couldn't quit. He was going on and on and on and on and on and on. Click. Well, I cut off. I thought, for heaven's sake. Oh, Lord. Phone rang again a few minutes later, and there it was her. She said, he's speaking in tongues. We can't get him to quit. He wanted to call you up and tell you thank you, but he just can't say anything else than whatever he's talking about.
Glory.
Think about that. When I got home, and there they were waiting for us, you know, and he was still jibber-jabbering, talking in tongues, carrying on, you know. And I said, thank you, Lord. Let me read it to you again. Listen. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. You raised me up. And I know, Lord, that you are pleased with me. For even my enemies don't triumph over me. In my integrity you uphold me, Lord, and you set me in your presence. And David seals it with praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. When we were in Yuma, we had all the kids, and we had 3 days revival services with the kids. And there was a boy there. He was a teenager about to graduate from the school. And his parents did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I thought, well, God will take care of that. He's pretty big. He'll take care of it. It says he leads us into all truth. Well, he came down for prayer, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and got slain, plop, right there on the floor. And there he laid. Got up, wasn't speaking in tongues. He says to me, I want to speak in tongues. I said, now listen, just be careful a minute. I said, listen to me, God will give it to you. I said, let's don't force it. Let's don't repeat after me. Let's don't do the Holy Ghost massage. Hello? And let's don't do the anointed choke. That's not speaking in tongues. All right? I said, God will give it to you. Just be patient. Next morning, we got there for school. And I was sitting in the office. And it was about 10 to 8, I suppose, or so. Getting stuff ready for the morning. The secretary is busy rummaging through all her papers and having trouble with the copy machine, which is normal. Phone rings. It's this boy's dad. First words I hear was, what did you do to my boy? He says, oh, ooh. He says, we're coming to see you. And he says, we are not happy. I said, okay, all right. They got him and his wife got to the office. And they brought James along with him. He was radiant. He was also a little nutty. His mother said, we can't get him to stop this talking. She says, what is this deal? I said, well, dear, I'll tell you. His dad said, the boy was in there taking a shower, singing. He said, we could hear him clear out here. And all of a sudden, he started singing in this stuff. He said, here, next thing I know, he says, here he comes running out of the shower, stone naked and wet, running around the house hugging me. I said, oh. Oh. I says, it's the Holy Ghost. They says, is it real? I said, ask him. They said, what should we do? I says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. It says he uplifted us. He did not push us down. He brought us up. And he calls you unto himself. What's your name again? Wilma? Mildred said, oh, Lord's going to help me with names. As Mildred said, she said, sometimes people can snatch parts of our soul, can't they? When you open up yourself and share a part of you, and they take that thing by violence, they take that thing by force. Yes, they do steal a part of your soul. And I'll tell you how you know is when you want to put the pointy-toe cowboy boots on. Hello? Because you want a little blood back. That means somebody took a very part of you that you loved and they hurt you deeply. It's when you feel like the mule that got knocked in the head and down the well. I'll say this to you, just stomp and shake off the dirt and you'll walk out of the well. And if you say, I know what Pete the possum felt, that's a good story, isn't it? Were those fangs sinking deep into me? Oh, David felt the same thing. But all of a sudden God came on the scene and says, I am pleased with you. I am happy with you. I will uphold you with my strong arm, with my righteousness, and I will bring you into my presence forever and ever and ever and ever. You have now joined with me. Come ye out from among them and be ye holy. And you heard it prophesied. If you missed it, I'm sure it's on tape from what Jack said. Listen to those words that he said. It was so anointed, wasn't it? It was so anointed for what he said. It was the seal to this message. It was the holy seal to this message. Because he told you the rivers, didn't he? And the harvest. I mean, it's there. You have no idea how anointed that was, what you heard. Did you know that? I mean, he was so anointed and appointed for tonight. And so were you. He brought you here for this. Isn't that neat how God does that? He brings it from far and wide. And you know why? Because he loves all of you that much. Doesn't he? He loves all of you that much. Healing through all our tribulation, that the Lord is pleased with me. And Glenn and Irma, I want to say this to you. The Lord is pleased with you. People come against you for deliverance or camp or whatever, you know what? Just say to them, the Lord is pleased with me. He has carried me into his presence. And there I am abiding, everlasting to everlasting. And if you want to argue about it, you see the boss. His name is Jesus. You go check this out with the boss. Because there's no argument with me. Glenn told me the words, obey God. Obey God. Just obey God. Isn't that easy? Obey God. If you have an unholy alliance, and you know it is, and you leave, and you suffer those hurts, and we all do. I mean, church is the thing of the past 5 years, 10 years, isn't it? And you can't believe the amount of people that I hear that are hurt out of church splits, problems, families. I just heard the other day, well, what do I do about my family? I'll tell you the same thing that Noah said. He had three sons. Noah's three sons were married. And those wives that they had family, didn't they? Do you think it was easy for them to walk in that ark? The Lord told me, he said, I'm the one that had to shut the door because they couldn't have done it. Could you? Could you have done that? I couldn't. I love them too much. It had to be God that shut the door. And if God calls you to have church in your house, fill up the bathtub and start. Don't fight. Don't argue. Don't try and kick the cat. Hello? Don't drown to anything. Don't get mad and lay in the well and just get covered up and buried. I don't feel like buried. You know that? And maybe some of you have even carried Sly the Snake around a little bit. Huh? In fact, let's find out. How many carried Sly the Snake around? Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah, look at all these people. You bet. How many of you felt like that old mule got thumped in the head by something you loved dearly? Yeah, look at this. You bet. But listen, if anything, to what Jack had to say. Get that. Play it over and listen to it and let it build you up. Let it encourage you from what he said. Because he said the exact words. And I told George, I got it. Right here, I got George. And George said, I turned to him and I said, that's it. And I opened my shoulder to him, right, didn't I? This is it. He's doing it. He's the confirmation to the message. And what will happen in your life if you'll do that? Please just take a stand here somewhere. Would you do that? Would that be okay? Please. I want to tell you how wonderful you guys are to be so great and to be so patient and listening and appreciate that very much. And I hope we've had a good time kind of more visiting than preaching, you know, and recognizing that Jesus is a prophet, priest, and king, and a friend. There's no other arm that you can lean on in a time than the arm of a friend. There's no other one that you can go to say, it's just me. All my faults, all my trials, all of them, it's just me. Please just be my friend. Don't walk behind me. Don't walk in front of me. Just walk beside me. Just walk with me on the way. We want to pray for you to be healed of those scars from Sly the Snake? In fact, let's find out how many bear scars from Sly the Snake right now. Raise your hand. How many bear scars? In fact, how many of you feel like, think about it, how many feel like you're in a spiritual grave and those people that you love thumped you on the head and buried you? Raise your hand. Let me see. Yeah, look at that. You bet. Hello, you are all here, aren't you? And how many of you feel like just putting on them old ponytail cowboy boots and going to town for a little blood? Amen? Raise your hand. Let me see. Come on. Do you know what? God doesn't want you to bear this anymore. He doesn't want you to go to bed at night and think about this anymore. The Lord is saying to me right now, some of you have went to church. And you went to church and you saw the very people that hurt you raise their hand and praise God. And you have said in your heart, how could they do that after what they did to me? Hello? How many we found there? Now, raise your hand. You bet. Absolutely. It's there, isn't it? In fact, I know another thing is that some of you have taken the Bible and just put it up on the shelf because you equated those people so close to the Word of God that when they hurt you, you also equated it with the Word of God and you said, I don't want to even look at this Bible anymore because of what they did to me. How many of you ever felt like that? Come on, raise them up. Let me see. Let these people see. You bet. Well, I tell you what, there's healing in his wings. There's anointing in his wings. And tonight, you look up here and you ask the Lord, you say, Lord, who do you want me to go up that can pray with me? Did you not? Who is it that can pray with me? And in just a minute, I want you to come up and get with that person. And they pray with you. Someone's going to take deliverance to get it out. Because you don't need to carry that spirit of resentment, right? And I want to say this, too, because this goes with what you said today, is that some people have actually snatched or taken hold a piece of their soul. Did you know that? They have taken hold a piece of your soul. And in fact, you have felt it because the Lord is saying to me, some of you have said, it's like I left a part of me. Oh, isn't that something? I've left a part of me. You're just saying they've taken a piece of my soul. You have felt like you haven't been all there. And the problem with some of it is the part of the soul that they seem to steal is the part that wants to worship God. Isn't it? That's why some people have a hard time worshiping the Lord. And you need to put the discernment in action and say, I know why. Because somebody stole a very holy part of your soul. A very part of your soul that wants to worship God. But those hands won't go up because they're so hurt. They're laden. Tonight is the night of freedom. Tonight's the night to get free. And to get loose from that. And get back to being that whole person that the Lord wants you to be. And we're going to see you tonight getting to that very presence of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. We thank you that there is an anointing here tonight. Lord, that there is an anointing tonight as Jack Harris drove up here tonight because the Lord is even putting that into him. And it came out up here in Jesus' name to come ye out. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, there is an anointed part over there in Gene because of what he said and how he said it. And he's even known what it's like to suffer at these hands. And I dare say everybody up here knows what it's like to suffer from these hands. But in our imperfections, Lord, we are made perfect in you. So, Lord, right now we loose an anointing for healing. And, Lord, I pray people tonight that got their pointy-toe cowboy boots on and they want a little blood, that tonight they'll come up and get them taken off. And Lord, I pray people that felt the very fangs of Sly the Snake penetrate them to the core, that they will gain wisdom and understanding. People like David that said, how could this person do this to me? They walked with me. They talked with me. We walked in the beauty of the holiness of the Lord together. We broke bread together. But they have lifted up their heel to crush my neck. Well, tonight you're going to be free from that. and that very part of your soul. Oh, Lord, let them regain that part of their soul that was snatched away from them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them be born and bared in the very presence of the Lord tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say yes. Come on. Yes. Everybody stand up. Stand up. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say this. I'm ready to be all of me back again. I'm taking back what's been stolen from me. I'm taking off the pointy toe cowboy boots. Amen. And I when I come up here, I don't want blood. All right. But I want the blood of Christ to heal me and set me free in Jesus' name. And it's a joyful thing, isn't it? Okay. Come on up and find somebody and let's get to it. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
Harry Hodd and my sister Verna May to me, and we just appreciate what the Lord's been doing with them.
I like to stand by Glenn. When I stand by Brother Harris, I feel so short, but I stand by Glenn, and I like this. The Lord has certainly been good to me. We just, last month, they celebrated the 50th anniversary of D-Day at Normandy, and next February will be the 50th anniversary of my D-Day, which was Iwo Jima. I was not a Christian there. God was merciful to me. I hit about an hour after the first wave of Marines hit, and God spared my life. But even more than that, there were some boys there on that island that told me about the Lord. And I surrendered my life to Christ. I've been raised a Methodist. I knew nothing at all about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They told me about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and God filled me with His Spirit. Just completely changed my life. Hallelujah. When I got back home, I was so different. The neighbors were quite alarmed, and they kept coming to my mother and saying, "That poor boy of yours, says, what's wrong with him?" And one lady solved the whole problem. She came to my mother and she said, "Oh, that poor boy," said, "he's just shell-shocked. Said, you give him a little while and he'll soon snap out of it." But that's been many, many years ago, and I haven't snapped out of it yet. God has been so good to Verna and me. We met in Bible college in Texas, in Waxahachie, Texas, and we have been married for 45 years. She sent me an anniversary card a number of years ago, I think on our 27th wedding anniversary, and she said, "Thank you for 25 happy years." I said, 25? I said, "We've been married 27. She said, "Yeah, but said there's been days now and then." The Lord has been so good. We've had the pleasure of pastoring for many years, traveling as evangelists for many years, and these last 6 years of our lives, God has given us the privilege of going to Europe and ministering primarily among the American military in England and Holland and Belgium and Germany. And so the Lord is just good to us. It's good to be here, Glenn and Irma. I marvel at Glenn and Irma, at the pace they go. I just can't go like that. I mean, so they've just done a tremendous work for the Lord, and I just want to commend you and Irma for it, and the Lord bless you. Amen. Verna, would you come? Come, Verna, please. Let's just make it a duet. She said she took me for better, for worse, and there are times when I'm worse than what she took me for, but she's still been with me all of these years. The Lord bless you. This is an old song, but it certainly expresses the desire, I think, of everyone here. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. It's just an old song.
I'm longing longing for that glorious day when Jesus Christ shall come. I long to see his blessed face, when all the saints throughout the ages shall be gathered home, the ones who trusted in his grace. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King to come and take me to my home beyond the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sometimes the way seems rough and hard, the pathway seems so long, but he is always by my side. He whispers loving words to me and tells me to be strong, that he will always lead and guide. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King to come and take me to my home beyond the skies, up there where angels shout and sing. Oh, what a glorious time 'twill be when through the air I go to meet the one who died for me. My sorrows, cares, my trials, fears will all be left below, for then my way will be complete. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King to come and take me to my home beyond the skies, up there where angels shout and sing it with us. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King to come and take me to my home beyond the skies, up there where angels shout and sing.
I might just give a little word of testimony, if I may. Singing that song reminded me of something the Lord did for me back in 1987. And we were preparing to leave our pastorate where we had been for over 16 years. And we didn't know exactly where the Lord was going to send us at that moment. And I was very concerned about where I would live, because we had owned this little house there at the Illinois District Campgrounds, like campgrounds like this. They have a few homes around the lake. We'd owned this little house since 1970. And then we were thinking of retiring, semi-retiring, and where would we live? And I began to cry and weep before the Lord. And I thought, well, why, Lord, would you ask us at our age to leave our little home and not have a home anymore? When you're thinking of retirement age, that's when you need a home. And so I guess I was feeling sorry for myself, and I just cried and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I wanted the Lord to assure me that I would be able to live in that little house. But it didn't happen at that time, and I prayed some more. One day I was at a women's meeting where we were having a prayer time at the close of the service. And God gave me a vision. I'm not one to receive visions like anything like that. But as I was weeping there before the Lord and asking the Lord, you know, about this situation, and finally I said, Lord, I guess I'll just give it back to you. I'll just give it up to you, Lord, whatever you want. Because I've always said, Lord, whatever you want. But then I didn't realize I was hanging on to something now, you know. And so I said, Lord, I was just crying my heart out and saying, Lord, I'll just give my house right back to you, God, you know. So I did. And as I prayed that prayer, I was standing all of a sudden in my house. I wasn't even in the same city at the time, but there the Lord showed me, and I was standing in my little house
in the dining room, and the house was all clean, everything in place, and the windows were all washed, and they were huge windows. And they were all washed, and the sun was shining through, and they were just sparkling clean. And God showed me every room in the house and reminded me of what a joy it had been to live there and how He had provided it and all the things like that that happened. And He said to me, "Now that you've given it back to me, you can keep it." And I just couldn't believe it. I thought the Lord was going to say, you know, give it up. You're going to move away. You're going to go up the mission field. You're going to do this or that. And I wouldn't have a house anymore, that we'd have to sell our house. But no, the Lord said, you can keep it. And so now we have our little house. But you know what? No longer do I feel that way anymore. I'm not attached to it anymore at all. From that moment on, I'm free. If God asks us to move out of that house tomorrow, never to come back, I am totally free. Hallelujah. Free at last.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.